going to camp, the book to study will be Colossians, and I'll have that flyer probably out on the table this next week, just so you can. It's a long ways out yet, but that quiz has financial gain attached to it, so you can study hard. And we've given $50 for first place on that one at camp, so there's a. Some incentive there to study, but it's the competition, let me say, is tough when it comes to that quiz at camp. So 10 questions from each chapter of Colossians, and then a follow-up for everyone that quizzes out. There will be extra questions, so we'll do that. And then also testimonies, men, don't forget. I know that there are a few of you who are excited about giving their testimonies or excited about wanting to give their testimonies. Sign up next Sunday. We need somebody next Sunday, and then going on further for that. It's just a blessing. It's a good thing to do. It's a good thing to share our testimony, but it's a good thing for others to hear it as well. 1 Samuel 17, looking at the mind of Saul. This is our seventh message dealing with what's going on in his mind as he walks with God and then doesn't. And tonight we're looking at the spirit of fear. So 1 Samuel 17, 1 through 11. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shochak, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shochak and Ashkenah in Ephes-Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am I not I a Philistine? And ye servants to Saul, choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we might fight, that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed. That word dismayed means deprived of courage and greatly afraid. And verse 24 says, And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Let's pray. We'll look at this tonight. Father, I ask that you would help us. God, help us to see what your spirit gives and help us to see what's going on in the mind of Saul. Father, I pray that within this congregation tonight that you would remove from us any spirit of fear. It's something that should not and does not belong in our hearts and minds. God, I pray that you would give us your spirit and let us see tonight what comes from you and from your spirit. And God, give us boldness to walk with and live for you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Saul went from being bold to being fearful. I want to show you and give you a comparison of the difference. If you'll back up with me to 1 Samuel 11, verse 6 through 11. 1 Samuel 11, verse 6 through 11. So they had been called upon to come and help the people, the inhabitants of Jabesh. And it says, The Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those tidings, and his anger was greatly kindled greatly. And he took a yoke of oxen and hewed them in pieces and sent them through all the coast of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, Whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen. And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. And when he had numbered them in Bezek, the children of Israel were 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. And they said to the messengers that came, thus shall ye say unto the men of Jabesh-Gilead, tomorrow, by the time the sun be hot, ye shall have help. And the messengers came and showed it to the men of Jabesh, and they were glad. Therefore the men of Jabesh said, tomorrow we will come out unto you, and ye shall do with us all that seemeth good unto you. And it was so on the morrow that Saul put the people in three companies, and they came into the midst of the host in the morning watch and slew the Ammonites until the heat of the day. And it came to pass that they which remained were scattered, so that the two of them were not left together. That's Saul when he is walking with God, when he has the Spirit of God on him, and when he's humble enough to say, will you follow me, but follow Samuel too. What a difference. This is Saul when he's there. He gathers Israel together. He's a leader. He's standing there boldly. He's saying, let's come out. Let's get everybody together. We're going to go down and we're going to defend our friends and neighbors down here in Jabesh-Gilead. And they went down there and they defeated that army. And there was no thought about it because he understood God gives the victory. Then we get over here. And there's one man, he's a big man, he's a tall man, he's got some armor, and the Philistines are over here, Israel is over here. We know that Israel can, or at least has the potential to have a massive army. And all of a sudden, one man comes out and says, I defy you. Send me one man to fight. Who gives him the idea that he can set the terms? They didn't have to fight according to his terms. But this one man has them absolutely shaking in their boots. They're terrified. They're scared. But what we see the difference is we don't see the Spirit of God on Saul. We see that Saul has had a troubled spirit that we saw last week. There has been an evil spirit from the Lord that has come and troubled the spirit of Saul because Saul has lived in sin. He has disobeyed God. And in disobeying God, God has said, I'm stepping back from you. And with Saul, you see no repentance. And in that, all of a sudden, he realizes, I'm out here. I'm on my own. I don't have the blessing of God anymore. And he is dealing with the spirit of fear. Dismayed, deprived of courage. Psalm 56:4 says this, in God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. You know, the difference between a person who has the Spirit of God and a person who does not have the Spirit of God. Among Christians, among believers, among people who trust in God, among people who hold high this word, we should not live in the spirit of fear. Now, I'm not saying that nothing ever happens in our life that causes us to have a moment of fear or a moment of worry or a moment of, I don't know what's going to happen. But is God our God? Does he listen to us when we pray? Do we have his word? And in the worst case scenario being our physical death, where do we go when we die? And so in all reality, should we live in a spirit of fear? We really shouldn't. The spirit of fear comes when we put our trust in the physical instead of the spiritual. Notice Saul here, even when David comes up, and we're not focusing on Goliath, we're not focusing on David. That's a whole, those are other messages that are in the passage. We're focusing on Saul tonight, but 1 Samuel 17, verse 32 and 33. So David shows up, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Oh, this is interesting. Here comes a young man. Not really experienced in war and battle. And he says, what's everybody afraid of? What does David have right now that Saul doesn't have? The Spirit of God. And so he says, you don't have to fear. Don't worry about this. Thy servant will go down and fight with this Philistine. Verse 33, and Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth and a man of, and he a man of war from his youth. Saul's looking at David and he literally says to him, you can't go down there. See, Saul's fear is transferring to everyone around him. And literally, he does not want someone else to have boldness when he has fear. Do you ever notice that when people get in a depressed state, they don't want anybody else really to be happy? When people get in a worried state, they get frustrated that other people aren't. When people get in a dark place, they seem to want other people to be in that dark place with them. There's something about not having the right kind of spirit that you want to just pass it on. And so Saul's looking at David. He says, you can't do this. What's the difference between Saul and David right now? Saul is trusting in the physical. He knows that God's not with him. The only reason God's not with him is because he has refused to repent. And David is, he knows God is with him. And so you have two men looking at the same battle, at the same giant, in the same situation, and one says, don't worry about it, I'll go down and fight him. And the other says, you can't go down and fight him. Verse number 38, and Saul armed David with his armor, and he put on a helmet of brass upon his head, and he also armed him with a coat of mail. See, again, the spirit of fear comes when we trust in the physical. Well, Saul's like, oh, well, you've got to have this, and you've got to have this, and you've got to have this, and you've got to have this. And ultimately, David says, I can't go with any of this. I've got God, and I've got the tools that God has given me that I've already proven. And we look at this situation, and David goes out, he with confidence defeats Goliath, and Saul and the people, only when they see that victory and they see the Philistines start to flee, do they go out and join in the battle. This spirit of fear is going to follow Saul through the rest of his life. He's not going to shake it, he's not going to get rid of it. We look at 1 Samuel 18. 1 Samuel 18. And it does not matter where and what is taking place. That spirit of fear, it gets in and it does not want to let go. Look at verse 12. It says, and Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Now, Saul is simply looking. He sees that God's been with David. David went out and defeated the giant. Does David mean Saul any harm? Absolutely not. David has been anointed to be the next king, but David is completely fine with God's timing, and we'll see that through the life of David, but he's completely fine with God's timing. He's not stepping in to make that happen in any way, shape, or form. But Saul realizes, I don't have God, David does, and so now Saul is afraid of David for no reason. We look at verse 29, chapter 18, verse 29. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. So David is not the enemy of Saul. David is best friends with Saul's son Jonathan, though there literally was at least a 20-year age gap between Jonathan and David. And we don't think about that, but that's the way it is. And they're best friends. And Saul, you know, he's older, he's king. David is respectful. He is doing his best to go out and do everything that he can. He actually marries Saul's daughter. And Saul is looking at him and he's afraid of him for no reason. David has done nothing to make him afraid. Saul knows my time is running short, There's no repentance in his life. He's not turning back to God. And everywhere he looks, he sees problems. Everywhere he looks, he's afraid. To the point that now he is going to make an enemy out of David. And he is going to try to kill him because God's blessing him. And God's not blessing Saul. Whose fault is that? Saul's? It's Saul's. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." I believe in my lifetime, the spirit of fear was never seen like it was seen in 2020 with COVID. It was not the spirit of God, but the spirit of fear was put on literally the whole world. People were acting out of fear, reacting out of fear. People were scared to death. People were staying home from their jobs. People were wearing masks everywhere they went. If you didn't wear one, you were the enemy. And we watched that happen. And we saw the reaction. And we understood that, you know what? God's in charge. And God's in control. And we don't have to walk around afraid. Yes, look, should we wash our hands? Sure. Wash your hands. If you don't want to wash them and build up your immunity, do that. But, you know, you look at it, nobody's saying you should be ignorant. Nobody's saying you should not be cautious. But God did not give the spirit of fear. I want to look at some things with this idea of fear. The Spirit of God replaces fear with power. We saw it with Saul when he went and attacked Jabesh-Gilead. But 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Saul is lacking all three. Saul does not have the spirit of power. He has a spirit of weakness, a spirit of cowardice. Saul does not have a spirit of love. He has a spirit of animosity and enemy. Saul does not have a spirit of a sound mind. As we continue looking at Saul, you're going to see him all over the place in his mind. He's got a troubled spirit. But the Spirit of God replaces fear with power. Go with me to Acts 4:31. Acts chapter 4. I want to bring this into a practical place for us. We see what happened with Saul. We see that spirit of fear. But let's bring it into our life and our practical life. Acts chapter 4 and verse 31 says, "And when they had what? Prayed. The place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." What did they just get? The Spirit of God. Filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the Word of God with what? Boldness. Now, when they spake the Word of God with boldness, would you say their lives were in danger? More so than with COVID. They had literal people out there that wanted to kill them, wanted to put them in prison, wanted to put them to death. And they went out, they prayed about the matter. Look, right before that, in verse 29, it says, Now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. They're literally, they've been threatened. They've been told to stop preaching the Word of God. They've been told you need to shut up. You need to get in line. And they said, "God, you see the threatenings. God, give us boldness." And they prayed, and the Spirit of God came upon them, and they replaced the spirit of fear with the spirit of power. That comes from God. God does not want us shaking in our boots. But if we're living in sin, we do away with the spirit of power because we're really shoving the Holy Spirit over into a box in our life. We're grieving Him. We're quenching Him. We're doing away with His power. And we know that God's not with us, and we end up shaking. Proverbs 28:1 says, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." You know what the key to boldness is? Righteousness. You know what the key to power is? What's the Spirit of God? What's the key to the Spirit of God? Righteousness. When we are walking in unison with God, when we have fellowship with God, we can stand on God's word and we can understand it does not matter what happens around us, God is with us. And you can face whatever family troubles you're facing. You can face whatever work troubles you're facing. You can face whatever worrisome troubles you're facing. You can face whatever health troubles you're facing. Because you say, you know what? I'm walking with God. In every way possible, I'm as right as I know to be. I've confessed my sins. I've repented of anything that's between, and I can sing the song, "Nothing between my soul and the Savior." And it's like, whatever happens, happens. It's in God's hands. I'm okay with that. And there is a peace and a trust that come with just walking with God. But if you get fearful and you step into sin, you're stepping away from the power of God. You're trusting in something else to calm you, to settle you, to take your mind off of the problems that are going on. And the Spirit of God replaces fear with power. The Spirit of God replaces fear with love. Saul literally has lost love. Okay, here's Michael. She likes David. They're going to get married. He tries to set up David to go out and get himself killed. David doesn't get killed, and Saul's like more afraid. Saul has no love for his daughter Michael. When David escapes, he just takes her and gives her to another man. Saul has no love for his son Jonathan because Jonathan and David are friends. Saul has no love for David, though David was the one that played the harp for him, settled his troubled spirit that was there. David's the one that went out and killed the giant. Look, yes, David had that victory, but that victory is attributed also to King Saul. And you look at it, there is no reason, but Saul has no love left. It's gone. And when a person gets the spirit of fear, it takes away, it steals away their love. They become self-centered. Everything is about their fear and their situation. The Spirit of God, though, takes that fear and replaces it with love. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." So God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And love drives away fear. The love of God drives away fear. That relationship that we have with God drives away fear. Our love for God and realizing His love for us drives away fear. Our love within our family, knowing our family unit is together, that drives away fear. When we demonstrate love toward other people, we're getting off of ourself and centering around ourself and demonstrating love for others. That drives away fear. So literally, we can look at this and understand the Spirit of God. When God comes in and love comes in and we love God and God loves us and we're walking in that relationship, it drives fear out. again, I'm not saying that, oh, I just found out this happened. And sometimes it takes a moment to get settled into that love of God. Sometimes it takes a moment for us to get our mind back where it needs to be. Any single one of us can be faced with a momentary problem or situation that puts us back just a minute, and we have to get with God and we have to pray and say, God, I need you in this. And then God shows up and he puts his arms around you, not physically, but it's as real can be. And God says, I'm here with you, I love you, you love me, we have a relationship, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But you know what? If we're backslidden and we're away from God, that's not there. God still wants to be there. God still loves us, but our sin has separated us out. And we need to get back in fellowship with that Holy Spirit of God and stop quenching Him and bring that back. And then the Spirit of God replaces fear with a sound mind. I want you to notice Acts 26. Acts 26. Look at Paul just a moment. Verse number 11. This is Paul giving his testimony, and he's giving his testimony before Festus, and here's what he says about himself. Verse 11, and I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them, even unto strange cities. Saul literally is saying, I let my mind go mad out of hatred for these people. That word mad, you ever hear of a mad dog? It's describing a dog that like has rabies. He's gone mad. You've heard the phrase. And Paul is saying, you know, I let my hatred for these people, you know what he didn't have? He didn't have the spirit of love. He didn't have the spirit of a sound mind. All he's looking at is, I need to kill him, I need to kill him, I need to kill him. But then he gets saved, and the Spirit of God moves in. And all of a sudden, the very man that was persecuting Christians is being persecuted, and after getting stoned, he gets back up and preaches for God. And here's what happens in verse 24 and 25. It says, and as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. Paul is saying, I was mad, now I'm of sound mind. And the world is looking at him saying, you're mad. You're beside yourself. Now, the world has no comprehension of the change that takes place in a person who has the Spirit of God. And verse 25, but he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. And then he literally goes into pleading with Festus and pleading with Agrippa for their salvation. Where is he? He's on trial for his life. What does he have? The spirit of power? The spirit of love? He cares for these people's souls. And the spirit of a sound mind. He's able to stand there and give his testimony, not worrying about the consequences. God has emboldened him. God has given him power to stand on trial for his life and say, you know what? I've got one concern. I want you to know the gospel. And Saul, when many people would lose it, he holds it together. It's not him holding it together. It's the Spirit of God that has given him power and love and a sound mind when a lot of people would have lost it altogether. Psalm 119:80 says this, "Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed." Sound, the word sound means healthy, whole, unbroken. You know, this book has a whole lot to do with our state of mind. You know what we have no record of? What were the kings of Israel supposed to do? They were supposed to write out a copy of Genesis through Deuteronomy and read in it every day. There is no record of Saul doing that. In fact, there's very little record of any king doing it. You do have a couple revivals that took place when they found the Word of God and it was read to them. See, the Word of God has an impact. It has an effect. And this book will give us a sound, stable mind that we can focus on and hold on to the statutes that are in this book. And we can go through life and we don't have to be ashamed. There's all kinds of things that we could look back at and say, I'm ashamed of that, and I'm ashamed of that, and I'm ashamed of that. You know what all of those things have in common? They're outside the statutes of the Word of God. Because I'm not ashamed of standing on this book ever. And any decision that's been made for the right and by this book, there's no decision I've made by the Word of God that I can stand and say, I'm ashamed of that decision. It gives us soundness of mind. Saul is living his life in a rebellious, unrepentant state. Samuel's gone from his life. The Word of God is gone from his life. He's trying to navigate his life on his own without God. And it has driven him into a troubled spirit and now a spirit of fear. He's lacking power, he's lacking love, and he's definitely lacking a sound mind. There's no stability. We'll see it next week. He's up and down. May God help us to really focus on the Word of God, our relationship with God, making sure we're in tune with the Spirit of God, and just trust God. You know, there are times when we have to make decisions, and those decisions are based upon the book. And there are times when we make those decisions knowing them to be right, and we do not know what the consequences are going to be. COVID was an example of that. Like, you know what? God said to meet, we're going to meet. We're going to be careful, we're going to be cautious, we're going to do right, but we're going to meet. And the police call. It's like, right's right. We're going to do right. Let's, you know what? Let's take another step. Hey, Governor, we're meeting. Want you to know that we're meeting. We're not meeting out of disrespect for you. We respect you, but you're out of line. God's greater than you are. And the governor the next week says churches are open. You know what? Does it always work out that way? Not necessarily. Paul was stoned. Paul was put in prison. Paul was shipwrecked. Was God with him? Did he have power, love, and a sound mind in it all? See, God wants us to have that. And so we look at this. Let's ask for God to help us. You living in fear right now? Ask God to help you. Ask God. But look, if you've got sin, The sin's got to go. You're not going to have the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind if you're turning to sin for your answers. You're not going to have it if you're going to say, I'm going to resolve this on my own. Let's just give it to God. Take our problems and give them to God. And God say, God, I want to be righteous. I'm striving to be righteous. God, help me. I've got some areas that I'm working on. God, I need your power. And you watch and see what God can do. Because God can do what we can never do. And so let's turn to God. Let's stand to our feet. Father, it is my desire tonight just that this will be a help to this body. God, that we would look to you. God, that we would realize how much we need you. God, that we would be on our faces before you praying and then operating in the boldness that you give. Whether that be to witness, whether that be to resolve problems, whether that be dealing with conflicts, God, we need your power, we need your love, and we need soundness of mind. God, we ask for it, we pray for it, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano plays tonight, if you have something to come and pray about, I'd encourage you to come talk to the Lord. How's your mind? How's your fear? We need God's help. We need God's righteousness. If you're here tonight and you're saved, there was a time when you feared hell. If you're saved, that's gone, isn't it? Why is it gone? Spirit of God moved in. If tonight you have fear of hell, you can get that settled. God wants to save you. Let's pray together. Father, we ask that you would help us. God, we need your help. Father, maybe there's someone here tonight and they're not saved yet. And they need to just call out and ask you to save them, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I know from time to time there's struggles. There's unforeseen events that shake us. God, I pray that you would help us with those events. God, I pray that in the midst of Goliath coming down and threatening us, God, that we would look to you and that we would find power and love and a sound mind. And God, I pray that that boldness and confidence would be contagious, just like fear can be. God, I pray that we would honor and glorify you with our lives. We ask it this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. Real quick, institute right here. Trustees, we'll go right in there. As soon as I'm done here, this will just take a minute. We'll get these meetings done together. And have a great week. Follow God, trust Him.